few minutes and then take it from there. Just a few announcements, Honorable Members. Honorable Self, Nube Ndaba and Bafu have all tendered apologies, they're busy elsewhere. And then in terms of what we requested last week, the proceedings of what happened with the regulations, the library is still trying to find that from us. You recall, Honorable Singh, I think it was you that said we need that. They're struggling to find it, but they're continuing. And then in terms of legislation from the provinces, that is also outstanding. We've received a response from the Eastern Cape indicating that there's no legislation. They work on the basis of policy and not legislation. So those are outstanding, including the breakdowns of the rands and cents. And then, of course, the IEC, we had requested to do a similar thing for us, and that is also still outstanding from last week. And then, Honorable Members, in terms of documentation, now we have to go carefully through these things because from our side seems to be so many documents that we've sent to you so that we are happy with it. First of all, the one that is not under dispute is the legal opinion. I'm assuming everybody's got the legal opinion. So that one is fine. Then, Honorable Members, you'd recall when we started on Friday, there was the...
Jefferson, save that on the legal opinion. I see they've steered away from giving us a view on equitable and proportional. Although we know the answers, but they've steered away from it.
Yeah. We would have got into it and decided whether it's satisfactory or we want more, but we can talk to it. And if we think they must do more work, we can do it. Then, Honorable Members, there was this document that was presented on Friday, the PowerPoint kind of document. So you should have something that says political party funding law, high-level issues to be decided based on public submissions. All right? Then you should have another document that you've been given now, but you were given a wrong version yesterday, I think. It should read political party funding law, high level issues to be discussed, but a Word document. Got that one? Yeah, I think that one. No. Yeah, issues to be decided, yeah. Yes. Is that all that you have? All right. And then finally, and all these documents have the same contents, by the way. We just gave you, we were not sure what it is. Then finally you got what we call political party funding law draft one that looks almost like a bill form. So those should be the documents, but the contents of all those documents are the same. And then, of course, you should have the minutes, but we will not talk to the minutes now, but you should have the minutes. So I'm hoping that all members have at least got all those documents. Honorable Mulder and then Honorable Singh.
No, I think the funding law one I
had. I beg your pardon? Oh, the one that says preamble.
Oh,
it says preamble. The third line will say preamble. Honorable Zamin, you are right? Just south, which documents you don't have?
One is
preamble. Those that don't have it, if they can just indicate. That one is distributed now. Congo, doesn't it? Honourable Matisse, you all right?
I am, thank you.
All right? No. All right, honourable members, what we need to decide on is which document do we want to use as our base document. My own suggestion was that if we worked on the one that says preamble, because it's almost a kind of skeleton, but I'm not sure which one we want to work on, but we must just decide which one we work on so that when we make and track changes, we're all talking to the same document. I'm suggesting that the preamble document should be our working document, but I would defer to your wisdom. Is that okay? Thank you very much. Honourable members, the intention was for us to, having listened to and received presentations, and also having had or have in our possession the Public Funding of Representative Political Parties Act 103, 1997, to take all those things into consideration and try and come up with something that we're going to give to the legal department to convert into a draft bill. That's the intention. So we've got all the information before us, except of course the information that I indicated was outstanding. And I'm hoping that we can start working towards the creation of something that we would give to the legal department to start drafting a bill. And that is why I suggested that we look at the document called preamble, because to me it's probably closest to what is in the draft bill. If we look at preamble on that document, if we look at preamble, in the actual bill that we're looking at, it has got a preamble. Yes.
Just from a process point of view, are you wanting us to comment as you...
Yeah. I thought that we would go through preamble and see if we want to add to, subtract from, if we compare what's in the bill already, and if there's any new issues that we wanted to put onto the preamble. Honourable Singh?
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you. I'm just trying to understand, are we working on the basis of amending the existing legislation, proposing amendments, or coming up with a complete new? So we've got to look at this in conjunction with what we have.
Mr. Chairman, the first line of the preamble, constitutional principles of transparency, accountability, democratic governance, and the right to privacy, please.
Okay, I thought you were responding to Honourable Singh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but it's fine. Honourable Singh, what I thought last week we took a decision that the Act as it stands needs to be amended in certain areas and new inclusions. That's why I'm saying let's take the Act as we go through the Act. If we're happy with Chapter 1, see, I'll move on to Chapter 2. If you want to add or subtract from Chapter 2, we'll move from there and then get to the additions, if there are any, what we call miscellaneous, I think, in one of our documents. Is that an acceptable way to go about a business?
Agreed.
Thank you very much. Okay. Cindy is suggesting that we go straight to part two because the preamble will be informed in what is in part two and beyond. Is her counsel acceptable? Then we start with what we say part two, public funding, and then we'll finish with the preamble because then the preamble and everything else will be informed by what we've got from there. That's okay. All right. If we then went to part two, honourable members, what this document of ours says on point four, it says establishment of public representative political party funds existing section two. So my understanding is that if we went to the original, have everybody got a copy of the original one? Okay. Yes, we all have, except we'll get one for Mr. Lee, the original one. Section 2 on the original document, oh, not on the original, Section 2 in the Act already talks about establishment of public representatives, public of representative political party funds. And we are suggesting that we leave it as is. That is what is here. And the new proposal, we've got to decide whether we want one fund which is currently in 2.1 or two funds. You recall we were debating, and I think that was Mr. Mulders, that we leave the IEC with what they have and then form the central democratic, whatever we want to call it, fund as a separate issue. So we have two separate funds. One will then be managed by the IEC, the other one will be managed by whichever entity we choose. So that's the first thing that we must decide. Do we want it all in one fund? Or do we want it in two funds? Because currently it doesn't cater for two funds. The current legislation doesn't cater for two funds. That's the first argument that they are saying we should look at. And maybe we should just talk to that one first. So they'll add it, Mr. Mulder, Honorable, and then Honorable Matthijs, and then Honorable Lees.
Thank you, Jefferson. The current Section 2 of the Act deals with the current represented political parties fund. Now, the question of why we should have one fund or two funds is basically because we are dealing with different kinds of funds. Some funds are state funds, public funds, and others would be private funds. Now, the current fund deals with public funds, although it's got the provision where it could have received other donations, which it never did. I would argue that, and after having listened to the IEC, etc., that we need two funds, two different funds. That we need a current fund to deal with public funds, but we need a different fund, and it's going to be constructed differently when it comes to private funds and the regulation thereof.
And Honorable Matthijs, somebody's mic is on right there. Is that a mic there? No.
Exactly. Thank you, Chair. Okay. So, Chair, remember we have what we call, like, we have that IEC fund, right? Then we have all this funding we receive from Parliament, we have from the legislature, and I thought part of what it is that we want to do, we want to be able to streamline, because quite the amount of money we receive from the IEC, so to say, is not significant in terms compared to what we receive from Parliament and what we receive from the provincial legislatures. So I thought one, we would discuss how we want to streamline all of that, because it, accounting to all these different legislatures, and there's the IEC fund, legislature, parliament, with all their different policies and stuff, is getting all very messy. So one, I thought we would speak to that. Number two, in terms of whether we have two funds, the Act already allows for the IEC to be able to accept private donations, right, and to be able to do that. So in terms of setting up a whole new fund, multi-party democracy fund, we offer view that no, and we must just capacitate the IEC to be able to manage that as well. So we're not reporting to two different bodies all the time on the same thing.
Honourable
Dean. Mr. Chairman, thank you. We are concerned about the IEC's ability to handle this. They've expressed concerns themselves. But at the same time, we're concerned about the duplication of costs of running two separate funds. And so our position really at this stage is that we should retain the one fund, and the IEC need to indicate to us what exactly they would need to be able to administer additional work in that fund. However, our position remains absolutely firm in that the IEC cannot play the role of both facilitator and policeman in here. And so if there is the danger of that happening, then perhaps the whole fund should be removed from the IEC to a separate entity.
Other comments?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I was just listening with great interest from what Honorable Mazambane said. And the motivation he's giving, it is actually in support of two funds. But he's saying he does not want two funds. I'm just worried. The whole motivation says we generally need two funds. And I think I agree with Honorable Mulder. Given all the presentation that we have taken last week, particularly from the IEC, it is getting clearer that we need to separate. Honorable Mazambane says we IEC cannot be a police and this at the same time. If that is the case, then we'll generally need two funds so that the administration of the funds gets to be clear, and we don't need to put more burden to the IEC. Given all the challenges that we already had and accepted are existing. So I'm strictly agreeing with Honorable Mulder that let's have two funds so that we can be able to monitor properly. Thank you.
All right, Honorable Mateus, your first question, and members will help me because none of us are the experts. I thought there was general consensus that all public funds, whether it's the IEC, I mean, whether it's the IEC, whether it's Parliament, whether it's province, whether it's local, all those funds will be regulated here. That I thought we all agreed upon. Because even if the provinces, according to the legal advice that I've read and my understanding, even if the provinces do the actual dispensing, it is us that has to give enacting legislation. So we have to delegate it. So to answer your question, when we talk about funds, public funds, it must somehow or the other find resonance in this document. Whether we take the money here and give it to them, or whether we say, go and do it, that we'll get to that when we get to the regulation. But we're moving from the premise that nobody else is going to just do their own willy-nilly thing, as you spoke about. So if that is clear, the question now is there, really what we're asking is, bearing in mind, honorable members, that we've agreed that there will be private funding that is either going to be disclosed, not disclosed, all those kind of things. And then this other one that's already accounted for. IEC was managing this one. This is a new elephant that we have here. The question is, do they have the capacity to do it? Or should we put, let's put it in a separate pocket now. We'll decide who manages it later. I think that's really the question. Because if we give it to the IEC, as you are saying, Honorable Mateus, then we will need to say we're giving it to them, and these are the things we need to empower them with. So really, that's the debate we should have for the next 5 minutes, and let's just agree on a way forward, and they can go and craft it for us. Let's take... Dlamini, did you want to speak? Just on that point, Bob. Ramin?
Yeah,
Baba.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I'm just trying to follow on what you are saying, that as Honorable Matthias was saying, that we've got the public fund, which is Parliament and all other spheres of government. And then the proposal from Honorable Mudla is that the second fund must deal with the private funding. Is that the direction? Okay, now I'm going to come and make a comment. I just wanted to get clarity for now.
Okay. Maybe just to help us, I'll come to you, Singh. Maybe just to help us, I think if we build on Honorable Mudla, because he was the first one to speak, his suggestion was, let's retain the status quo in terms of the public funding, and including your stuff, Honorable Matthijs. So wherever it comes from, that is the IEC's baby. The question is, what do we do with the private funding? And if there's a suggestion that is different to Mulder's suggestion, then you must raise it. But we're moving from the premise that the IEC will still have a role to play, and it'll be limited to the funds that they currently manage. Honorable Mulder, Honorable Lees, and then Singh.
Yes. Person, I don't know if I'm assisting or I'm making it more difficult. I just want us to understand the following. There's a difference in terms of the constitutional provision when it comes to public funding. And in the legal opinion, you'll see that, for example, the political party fund, the one that the IEC is now busy with, deals with funds in terms of Section 236 of the Constitution. But the provinces and Parliament deals with funds, public funds, in terms of other sections. It's on page 4 of the legal opinion. You'll see paragraph 6, section 57.2c of the Constitution deals, and that deals with constituency allowances and party administrative support and those kind of public funds. But the difference is this, and the same goes for the provinces in terms of section 116.2c, also deals in the provinces with regard to administrative support and constituency support. But the difference is this, in both those provisions, the Constitution says it should be on proportion. And that's why it's 100% proportional, constituency allowances, etc. But 236 talks about other funds. So all I'm saying is, I don't understand when you talk about public funds, you're not going to make constituency allowances now the problem of the IEC.
Yes.
That's not what we are saying. I think what we are saying is that all kinds of public funds, either provinces give party political funds for, that should be part of this fund. But constituency allowances and those things remain the responsibility of either Parliament or the provincial legislators themselves.
That's understanding. Honorable Lees and then Singh, and then Matthijs.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, then I'm misunderstanding, because I your earlier summarizing just now indicated that all sources of public funding, wherever they come from, would be regulated in terms of this. And so now we're talking about a large number of different sources of income or sources of constitutional support for such distributions. And so it does indeed complicate the way it's dealt with, no matter whether it's dealt with by the IEC and another entity, or just the IEC, or just another entity. It's a whole series of different income or funding sources now and streams. And just like currently political parties have to have a bank account for every source of state funding, a separate bank account, one now is suggesting an amendment to the Act which would determine how each of those funds is distributed to political parties and others. But as I understand it, we're suggesting that the source of the funds might still be from each legislature, not from a central body distributing the funds. So it's actually becoming quite complicated, because if we're going to say, okay, and I think Honorable is right, the provincial legislatures, they must budget and distribute the money in terms of an act, and so on, I'm starting, and now this is Alf Lee speaking, not the DA, I'm starting to think that we should be setting up a completely separate entity to handle this. And so we mustn't confuse changing the act to deal with distributions by other entities with a fund controlled by either the IEC or another entity. We're talking different things. If we're talking about one or two funds, we're talking about something controlled by the IEC or another. We're not talking about amendments to the Act which control how legislatures pay out money. The subjects are completely different. I think we're conflating things there. So if we're talking about whether we should have one fund or two funds, we're talking about private donations, perhaps, being put into a fund controlled by someone, and a certain amount of money, public money, which is not constituency allowances, being put into another fund or the same fund. That's really what we're talking about. Now, Honourable Mulder is suggesting that where legislatures, and I think most of them now do it, have what they call, I think, a political party fund, not a constituency allowance, it's a kind of gratuitous payment which is proportional based on their representation in that legislature. That should also be included in this fund, whether it's a separate fund or a single fund. And I think that one then has to take into consideration what the basis for that funding is. My understanding at legislature level is it's funding to enable people in that legislature, representatives in that legislature, to do their job, a bit like constituency allowance. However, I'm getting the impression that perhaps people view it more as being similar to the IEC funding, and therefore there needs to be some kind of equitable distribution as well as proportional in it. And that's partly the motivation why it should come out of the legislatures and into a fund, let's just say controlled by the IEC for now. We'll get to the control just now. And if that were to be the case, then we look then at the source of funds, which I was talking about earlier. Those funds would then presumably no longer be sourced from the legislature. They'd have to be budgeted for in the national budget, in the IEC budget, or wherever we decide they're going to come from. So that would be a major change for funding from legislatures to political parties. The legislatures would no longer control that funding. If I'm sort of trying to get my mind right around this thing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Honourable Singh and Mercedes and then Mulder.
Thank you, Chairperson. My understanding is that we have different sources of funding that a political party gets from different angles, each one appropriated from different budgets. The constituency fund comes from Parliament's budget. Right? Then the provincial funds come from their own budgets. We are dealing with, as far as I'm concerned, with the public funding of represented political parties. That's what we're talking about, essentially. And in our discussion and debate over the last week or two, we've realized that there's an element of private funding that's not coming through, and maybe we should create another animal, right, so that private funding can be put into that funding, appropriated from somewhere. They will put funding into Treasury, and Treasury can pass it on to that particular fund. So if my understanding is correct, then what we should be talking about is what Dr. Mulder is talking about. We should have two animals that deal with these funds. One is the IEC, which deals with the element of the public funding, as they do at this moment in time. How they do it, we will have to debate. And how it's allocated to different parties, that's another debate. And then we have another fund which deals with sources of funding from the public. And there were suggestions that, you know, maybe the public entities, public needs to get involved, corporates, business, etc., etc. But that's a debate for another day. But I think for now, what Dr. Mulder is saying, and as I understand, is we need two funds to deal with represented political parties that emerge from the Constitution. Let's leave out the constituency fund and all that for now. That's not a debate for us, I think.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm not going to agree with our Honourable Singh here, because we're dealing with an Act that covers all sorts of public funding, right? And Honourable Miller has just made reference to the various acts that covers the constituency allowances, etc., that we get from province, from the IEC, and then the public funding. So we agree that there's two there's two lots of funding, right? There's those that we get from the public, and it comes in different streams, right? It's Parliament, it's the IEC, and it's the provinces, right? We know we need to regulate the provincial, or there needs to be something done in the Act to make it legitimate that they are actually not acting outside the Constitution. And then we need to regulate private funding. So what I'm suggesting that we do is that we start our point of reference that we deal with how we're going to monitor private funding, right? Whether we use the IEC or whether we set up another body. I do not think that we must just close off that public funding because, one, I think the public funding that we receive from the legislatures, from Parliament, from the IEC, that whole act needs to be changed because the way it works now, it doesn't work well for political parties. We have to have like 28 different bank accounts. Some legislatures and provinces do their own thing. They have like ridiculous amounts of money that they give for secretariat allowances. Some don't. They do have a fund called party funding, right, which is similar to the IEC. So I would say that we should consider that that actually be moved and it becomes into one fund and let the political parties decide how they distribute it amongst their provinces and stuff. But I think we need to have two separate discussions. One, we decide private funding, how are we going to monitor it, are we using the IEC or not, to public funding, and let's go through all the different sorts of public funding that's available and then how we want to do that.
Honourable Maseko, then Honourable Lees.
And
Honourable Mulder, and then we'll try and see, because this is an opening round, then we'll try and see. I think we're all saying the same things, we're just saying it in different formats. Maseko, and then Lees, and then Mulder.
Thank you, Chair. I want to align with those. I think the proposal that was put by Dr. Mulder, but you also made a summary of that some of the things will come into the regulations. That we agree. I think it will also take care of the concerns of Honourable Matthews that we need two funds. We need two funds. As to how we do it, one of it will be, but IEC will also be central in these two funds. But we cannot have one fund for everything. Let us agree that we need two funds, and then we'll discuss the nitty-gritties of those two funds. But you have also summarized. Some of it will come with the regulation. Some of it we will discuss later as to who actually monitor and deal with the other funds. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Lees, and then Mulder.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps we're starting at the back end of this thing. Perhaps we should really contemplate what funding we're going to be enacting or taking action to control, and then finish up with how many funds we need to do that and who controls those funds, rather than starting with a fund which we really at this stage we haven't agreed what's going to go into these funds.
If you want to start with the funding, we could do that. I said we were going to go this way because it helps us in terms of the agenda, but if you want to throw everything on the table and find the place where we can, I'm quite easy. Honorable Mulder.
Chairperson, I think the answer to Mr. Lee's question is there. I'll try to assist. Let's, for argument's sake at the moment, put private funding aside. It's not relevant now. We leave private funding out. Now we talk about the rest. If you talk about the rest, there are three components. One is the current fund run by the IEC. That's one fund. The second amounts of public monies are so-called constituency allowances given by Parliament to parties in the National Assembly and given by provincial legislatures to parties in the provincial legislatures. The third one is a new animal which we do not know exactly what it means. And that is why we're trying to get some information from the provinces. It seems there's a political fund for political parties that is not constituency allowance based, but that's a different animal. So we're talking about those three things. If you talk about the constituency allowances, either on national or provincial, We are bound by the Constitution. The Constitution says the following with regard to Parliament. It says, Section 57. Two, not us, not the Act. It says the rules and orders of the National Assembly must provide for, subsidy, financial and administrative assistance to each party represented in the Assembly in proportion to its representation, so and so and so. That is where our constituency allowances come from, and that is strictly proportional. The same provision you'll find in Section 116.2c of the Act when it deals with provinces. Again, the rules and orders of provincial legislatures must provide for, c, financial administrative assistance to each party represented in the legislature in proportion to its representation. So, both on national and provincial legislative level, when we deal with constituency allowances, it's done in terms of these provisions of the Constitution. My proposal says, let the status quo remain. We don't have to regulate that. We don't have to change that. Parliament is responsible for that. The legislature is responsible for that. Only parties elected to those legislatures are entitled to that. It's got nothing to do with the broader question of enhancing political multi-party democracy. So when it comes to those state funds, my proposal would say, let them be. We don't have to change anything. We don't have to regulate in the Act. The Constitution gives the guidelines, and it's already being done. So that leaves the rest.
Just on that one. We're all happy.
Yeah,
that's right. Yes, everybody's happy except, I mean, we just don't want that one now.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I am happy about that, but there are other sources of Mr. Chairman, you can't simply make a decision about one source of funds without knowing what the other sources are. Honourable Mulder has said three sources. There's more. There's secretarial allowances. There are funds that are used for travelling, which on some legislatures are, the control is very questionable. But in terms of the constituency allowances, I'm happy to accept what Honourable Mulder is saying.
No. Honourable Member, all those other things, whether it's called Secretary in Gauteng and called Driver in Northwest, we're going to lump all those things together. That's the third thing that Honourable Mulder, and he's saying that one we must deal with later. I'm just saying, in terms of Section 57 and 100 and whatever.
What is it,
116? 116.
Those are constituency, what we know as constituency funds. The proposal is that we don't touch that. We're all happy with that.
It goes a little bit beyond the constituency, Chairperson, because the Constitution goes a little bit beyond. It says in the Assembly and in the legislatures, in proportion to its representation, so it's proportional, to do what? To enable the party and its leader to perform their functions in the Assembly effectively. So if you look at our own funds, it's a constituency allowance, it's a political party support, and it's administrative allowance. Those things are dealt with by Parliament, national, and the legislatures. And I say, don't touch that.
Exactly, that's exactly my point.
Okay.
Right.
But then there's a third animal, if I may call it that. We've become aware, in terms of numbers, it's talked about 600 million public funds originating in the provinces. Now, I guess a substantial part of that would be the constituency allowance part. But it seems there are other funds dished out by the provinces as well, in terms of, on a mirror image of what's happening in terms of the Constitution's 236 and the current funds being dealt with by the IEC, but those funds do not fall within that fund and are not administered by the IEC. It's been done by the legislatures. We don't know what exactly is going on. That's why we've asked for the information. The question is, once we've got that information, whether those funds should be included with the current fund and also be administered by the IEC. Currently, we don't know. So if I can summarize private funds for the moment aside, constituency allowance, status quo remains in the Constitution. Current fund, we know what we need to do and to regulate. Only question outstanding, what's happening in the provinces and if that should be included in the main fund dealt with by the IEC.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think the principle is that all these are public funds. So even one that we are not aware of, because it's still coming from the public funds, the state funds. So I think they should fall into the same system. All we can do is just to go so that we are clear how are those funds being distributed by provinces or wherever they come from. But the principle is that public funds, they remain administered either through provinces, parliament, IEC, and all those. So that is the distinction between that and the private fund of the one that was presented by various people that were present, because that was the issue. The issue of the, as Honorable Mulder is saying, that it just came out, the ones of provinces, and it was an issue of how do they move around. So my proposal is that anything that is public must remain within the public, as they have taken us through the constitution, rather than to go, because the private fund is one that was a lot of issues to say, where is the money coming from, what does it do, and how much is that fund, and that was the basis of saying, maybe we need to look at that regulation, because this one we're not regulating, it's already there. Let's just make sure that it's distributed in a correct way, that all the parties, they understand.
Talking away from our mics now, because we're trying to understand this thing. We all have to admit that those that are proportional, based on the seats, based on party leadership, is regulated, there's nothing we can do about it. Both at province and at national level. That we have to admit. But there seems to be other funds, other than that. We're talking at province now. Yeah, so that's what Mr. Miller is calling animal number three. The question that we then need to ask is, do we say here that animal number three must be regulated there? Do we say animal number three should never exist there? And I think that's the debate that we have. And we're not worried about what it is. Whether it is bus driver's fee, school, we're not worried. As long as it's not constituency, how is that governed? That is the question that we are asking now.
No, that's what I was saying. I was talking outside of the mic. I thought people could hear me. I think let's just focus on that one. And if we say let's shelve it until we've got more information, then let's shelve it and not be bogged down with it. Because right now we don't know. It could be a whole host of things depending on the provinces. So can we... So we are happy, honorable members, that there will be an IEC fund and there will be a fund that will deal with private funding. We are happy with that. Honourable
Lees. Mr. Chairman, are we suggesting then that the existing fund in the IEC, the mandate for that fund, we're going to change and take out the private funding in that one? Mr. Chairman, we'll reserve our judgment on that until we can see the big picture.
That's really the suggestion.
Because the suggestion is, if we say another fund, we're not going to all put... Currently, the access you can put from both sources in there. We're saying it must just be from one source. The other source must go into another pot. Who manages that pot? We're going to decide whether it's the IEC, as you say, and give them capacity, whether it's a law firm, is a different story. But we are just saying let's separate from the source point of view. Happiness, Matthijs?
No, I'm confused.
Let me try and say it slowly. There's current funds that come.
Let me argue that maybe it'll help. So we're dealing with private funding now.
All right, that multi-democracy fund, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Act already allows the IEC to manage funds that can be donated to be distributed to political parties. Now we're debating whether we must go and set up a whole another entity called the Multi-Democracy Fund, and I'm sure the ANC will go and, I'm joking, and then whatever, or whether we continue allowing the IEC and capacitate them to manage that fund. Is that what our debate is now?
Yeah, let me try and say it as I understand it. Let's assume currently the IEC has got one pot. Private money goes into that pot, public money goes into that pot. The IEC.
No.
The Act says so. The Act says so.
No, but the Act allows them to manage two separate...
No, we're getting there. Yes, no. No. Yes. Yeah, we are saying that it's the IEC that handles it. Now we're saying, regardless of whether it's the IEC or anybody else, let's just take this one pot and make it two pots. Pot A will be public, pot B will be private. That's all that we are saying. So that we can see the stream of money.
Yeah, but Chair, the IEC the funding that it gets now, that it manages as it stands now, it's managed as public funding, and any private funding that they get, it must be managed separately or differently under a different. It can't be put into and be considered government funding or state funding, so to speak. That's my understanding of how the Act is working.
Honourable Mulder, help us. I think you're wrong.
The Act currently makes provision that the IEC regulates state funding. And then there's one provision that says, if somebody in the private sector would like to make a donation to the same fund, they are welcome to do that.
Yeah.
And the moment when that money goes into that fund, it will be dealt in exactly the same way as state funds.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's not what we want. We want private funding to be held, treated differently in a certain sense. So public funds are currently being regulated in terms of the Act, and its working parties are doing their thing. That's not the problem. If you are saying we're going to create a separate entity that deals with all private donations and it's going to be regulated in a certain fashion, it necessitates a different fund and how it's going to be handled. That would imply that you have to take out the provision in the current Act that says private funding can also go to the IEC fund, because now you're confusing people. Some will donate to the Democracy Private Fund and then you give other private funds to the IEC. Why would you do that? So it only makes sense then to take that provision out, that the IEC fund only deals with state funding.
This private funding, where is it coming from, this private funding that now we want to get into? On the current Act, you were saying that the IEC is allowed to receive those funds. Because before we can even think of putting a structure, we need to understand even the magnitude of this private funding that we're talking about. That doesn't political parties go and look for their own private funds? Is that what we want? Is that the intention to say, if we're going to have now a multi-party fund, what does it do to the political parties that go and look for their own private fund? That is my issue in saying, on why this private fund, if then the IEC, because my thinking was on the suggestion that we are saying that the IEC is got the public. It must just create a separate board so that there's at least an issue of accountability, to see, so that all the parties, they can see that, okay, leave the public, what happened on the private fund, IEC, can you give us a report on how did you distribute that one? But they both remain with the IEC, rather than to maybe to put it in one box, to say, IEC, just put this one separate so that we can see if it exists or it doesn't exist even this private funding.
I think we're getting bogged down with this thing called IEC. I was really trying to, let's say, two bank accounts. What you are saying,
Honorable Dlamini, is correct. You know what, in our hearings, 600 million or 1.2 billion rand, I think it was, came from taxpayers, for want of a better word. But we know that more than 2 billion rand was used. The question is that other 1 billion rand, how do we account for it? Now, there's two ways of accounting for it. Either Vincent gives directly to the EFF, and the EFF must say, I got from Vincent. Or Vincent wants to give, but he doesn't want his name to be revealed. Then it goes to this other animal that we are talking about. So that's the private money we're talking about. And there's almost double what we are getting from the taxpayer. That's the reality. And we're saying it can't be. So we're not saying to people that it will go to the central fund. If you want to give it to the EFF, the EFF must declare, and I must declare. If I still want to give money, but I don't want to give it to the, I don't want to be declared, it'll go to this account number two, and then we will decide how account number two is regulated, whether it's equitable, whether it's whatever the case might be. That's really why we're saying the current, whatever, if they've got account at Standard Bank for the IEC, now let them leave it, let them open another account at NetBank, for want of a better word. So the NetBank account will deal with these other things we're talking about, just so that we are able to regulate it. And also, you'll continue to get your funding directly as political parties, but it'll be disclosed. I'm saying that's really what we were saying. And I'm not saying, before you say to me yes or no, but I'm saying that was the thinking that we were saying. So the question is, if we agree that there must be two bank accounts, or two, when I said pots, maybe two bank accounts, let's agree there must be two bank accounts. This one is for this, this one is for that. Who manages it? Is it the IEC or two different individuals? We'll get to that debate just now. That's what I'm trying to get at. And Honorable Mateus, I'm hoping that we are helping you there.
So we were talking about the same thing, and it was just about who, the allocation of that private funding, what the IEC is going to do. My understanding is that even if I make a private donation now to the IEC, it's not going to go into the same bank account
yes.
as the state funding, and when they report on it, they can't report that a private donation was state funding. They have to report on it as a state. But we need to discuss now who's going to manage that,
yes,
how much, and the percentage and whatnot.
Then we are all on the same page, Mr.
Yeah.
Lee seems to be. Because we right now are saying, Honourable Members, we're going to have two bank accounts. Just to, not to confuse, two bank accounts. One that is going to be public, one is going to be private. Honourable Lee?
Comment on that?
Mr. Chairman, I just I get a little sad that we talk about bank accounts like shoeboxes on a shelf and money for jam goes there and money for sugar there and so on. It's the where the actual cash is, and it doesn't really matter. It can go to the National Revenue Fund for all we care. It's the fund, the accounting system that's important. So if we want to think of it as bank accounts, that's fine. But in the end, we must look at the costs of running multiple bank accounts. And then, Mr. Chairman, I think that we must be cautious about speaking as though there is already a conclusion as to how this thing is going to work. We're feeling our way through it, and we must just be cautious that, as I said earlier, we don't set up the end process before we've actually talked about how that's going to, the flow in is going to happen.
Honourable Member, you want to say something? No, we all agree. Remember, Honourable Members, we'll still come back to it tomorrow. We'll still come back to it tomorrow night or so. But at least let's have this skeleton of ours. That says it's two funds. Who manages it? How it manages, we can get to. Honourable Mulder, and welcome, Honourable Kubisi.
No, Chairperson, I think we're on the same page. Thank you.
All right. On this point, Baba, yeah?
No, Chairperson, I just want to pick up from what you just said, that you've got two bank accounts, and then the third element is that political parties then go and get their own money that will be paid.
Yes.
But now you're talking of the issue of disclosure. You're saying that the party that gives money to EFF, as all agreeing in terms of transparency, they will have to disclose. But if someone doesn't want to disclose, he must be able to, he can put money on that on that other fund. So I think that even though maybe it takes us a step forward on the issues of regulation and disclosure, to say are we saying now that there are people that can put money even if in the state and then they can't disclose? That is the issue where I'm just flagging that on terms of what you are suggesting, that if I don't want to disclose, I can put it there. Is that the thinking that you want to go with? Thanks.
No, that's why I thought.
Let's not get to disclosure, because there's a different heading on disclosure. We were talking on the principle first. There will be disclosure, there will be regulations. So because remember, Honourable Members, we were looking at the current act. So Honourable Mulder was saying the current act needs another sentence, or it needs a sentence removed, where it says, Honourable Mulder, maybe you'll remind me, that money accruing to the fund from other sources, I think is what you're saying. If what we're agreeing here, then that money accruing from other sources must be out. I think they call it section or whatever, section 2D. 2B, yes. Because remember, that's from outside of the country and all that, we were saying will go to this bank account number 2. So we're removing 2B. And D. Yes, we'll get to a point where it'll be called either central fund or something like that. But that thing reads, the fund is hereby established. That is the IEC fund. Maybe we should say the IEC fund is hereby established to do A. And then, how are we going to do it? Are we going to say fund 1 is for A and fund 2 is for B? Because if we go that route, it's too different. I'm just saying, how do we change this act here? We're looking at the legal guys as well. The fund will be credited with. When they say the fund, which fund are we talking about? Because we are now almost suggesting there will be two funds, isn't it? So should we say fund 1 will be credited with X, and Fund 2 will be credited with everything else.
No, Chair, I think let's deal mainly with the principle. Let us not deal with
the
legal chapter will deal with the real draft.
All right.
But the principle is that two funds will be created, then the drafting will be something else.
One is private.
Okay, so we've agreed on that one. We don't have to. We're looking at the legal team that you guys will draft it. Okay. All right. So that then deals with, because honourable members, we were dealing. I'm going back to what we call the preamble document. We'll have to be working with both documents. Could we say there's a document that's called preamble document? I'm not sure if you've got it. Okay, you've got it. And we're on page 2, Bob. So can we cross out point 4 on the preamble document in terms of reach the principle? Yes? Yeah, no, I'm saying that whole of 4, we can now say it's done. Okay, 4 is done, and Michael and his team will try and put it together. Then it says, point 5 talks about the deposit and investment of funds, and it's current number 3 in the Act. People want to talk to that? The proposal is that we leave it as it is. If you look at the preamble says let's leave 3 as it is in the Act. Members are comfortable with that.
Everybody's got a copy of the Act then? Happiness with 3. Look, honourable members, we can always come back to you. We'll read it over tonight again. We'll always come back to you tomorrow. But the suggestion is 3 remains as is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think about it and...
you want to make amendments tomorrow, whether in the morning or the evening, you can always do it. But preamble number 5, I'm ticking as done. Right. Preamble number 6 is management and control of funds. And it says already section 4 of the current Act caters for it. 4.2, and the only exception is that GAAP must become GRAP or whatever the case might be, so that's going to be a necessary change. That's all that they are saying, because you recall the IEC was saying GAAP is no longer the in thing, it's GRAP, yeah. So that was the only change that was being proposed by the research team, that it stays as is, and we just change GAAP to the relevant or the most current accounting standard. Anybody? Mulder, and then Lees.
Chairperson, I think we've said to ourselves we're thinking in terms of 2 accounts. So one way could be to deal in the same sections with both. But for me, it's going to be confusing. I think it's going to be easier first to deal in a chapter, whatever, with this current fund. And then you get to the second part of the Act where you deal with private funding and you create a private fund, etc. That would, for example, only mean that in the definitions clause of the Act, we'll change the definition where it currently says the fund. Because the fund now means then more than one thing. You will have, in the definitions clause, you will say you can use the name of the fund, etc. But in practice, it means in terms of Section 4 of the Act, management and control of the fund. In terms of the Act currently, it deals with the current represented political party's fund. And that should remain. That's not a problem. The only thing we need to change is that section 4.2 with regard to the GAAP thing. But when you get to the other fund, you'll deal with it in that sense. And the control of it at that stage.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, I think it'll be much neater if we deal with it that way, because we can say they hereby establish somewhere else a multi-party democracy fund and list how that fund is going to operate, who controls it, who the way the banking account, etc. So within the same legislation, we can have these two.
You're going to be, Honourable Matthijs? Put your mic off, please, Mulder.
Wouldn't it just make more sense that in terms of the management and the Well, obviously we have to decide on the control of the fund, but if we're going to have these two streams of funding for this one fund, that the management and stuff of it would be the same. Why would it be any different? Why would one use GOP and one not use GOP?
No, no. GOP.
We have agreed.
I'm using that as an example. I'm not saying that.
No, no, but you're right. No, it is slightly different because currently we know who's the source of the funding. The IEC, we know it's from the public. On the private one, remember we're going to say you must declare and all those type of things. So what I'm understanding is that if we take this document, honourable members, help me, Mulder, this document with the changes that we've now made, the current act, the GAP issue, and the one on top, we should then put it aside and look at this preamble document, and if we want to mirror some stuff here, we mirror it in the preamble document. Okay.
We have a whole other section in other words, to deal separately with the second stream
of income, yeah. So it'll start, so this act will continue from whatever page it is, from page 7, we'll then have 8, 9, 10 and 11. Is that all right? Thank you very much. All right, so in terms of the management of this new fund that we're talking about, that's where we're at now. We're no more looking at the IEC funding, we're now only looking at new private funding. Let's discuss the management of that fund. Not who's going to manage it, or are we talking about who's going to manage it and what must he do? Okay, on Mulder?
The first point, Jefferson, I would suggest that because of how it's going to be structured, that it should be a statutory fund. In other words, it should be created by a law of parliament. It's not something that just happens, the private sector decides on its own, they're going to have a little fund and we don't know what's happening there. So I say statutory fund, it means that the Act must make provision for the creation of that fund. What it says, how it's going to be set up and who's going to control it, etc., that will be in the Act. But the broad principle is that the statute creates that fund as well, although it's going to be private funding.
Prof?
Yes.
You guys are following
it. Yeah, Chairperson, I would agree that it needs to be confined within the ambit of the law. And it will assist so that it's not manipulated. Then you can say, well, reputable individuals could control it. They should be independent, and they must have that the criteria that you'll mention. But the starting point is that it must be confined within the ambit of the law, as Dr. Mulder put it.
So, Chair, are we saying, so if we, it becomes a statutory,
yeah.
I'm very bad, English is my first language and I can't speak that properly. Is it going to affect, like any individual or company setting up any other funding at all to create their own little political party funding?
Nothing to do. We'll get to the investment arm at a later stage. That is just to say that if we take a decision, there must be a separate fund, account, or whatever. It must be in law. That's all that is. That's all that an honourable man is saying. Then we have a sentence that says a fund must be created, or a different account, or whatever you want to call it. But all you're suggesting is that is the first thing that must be under management and control. Because remember, we're looking at bullet point number 6 under the list.
Chairman, it's certainly not under management and control. Section 2 deals with the establishment of
the existing. Yes.
And so what is being suggested by Honourable Mulder and I think Honourable Singh is that you have two chapters with a different set of sections, and the one chapter deals, as it does now already, with the one fund. The other chapter deals with the second fund, which will have its own establishment clause and its own management clauses and everything else. So there's two separate issues we're talking about. And Honourable Singh has quite rightly said the definitions would have to define what the second fund is all about. So I think we've got past all that. We're really now talking about the same thing over and over again.
Yes.
We're not talking about the same thing over and over again. We're looking at Chapter 2 now. Yeah. Chapter 1 is done and dusted. Yes.
Parity. We're looking at Section 2. what Honourable Mulder is talking about is creating a second chapter which deals with a second fund. We now dealing with, as I understand it, just the one fund. We're only dealing in this chapter, which now this becomes a chapter, with the existing fund, and pulling out of there the private funding out of that, which would go into the second chapter.
We are saying exactly that. No, no. I think what Honourable Lees is saying, when we talk about the establishment, if you go back to 2, he was suggesting when we go to document 2, we must replicate 2 here, not in its full form, but just with the statutory. And I think that's what Mulder was saying. Yes. That, exactly, that's what I'm saying. So we'll move from there. You want to talk on that one, or are you happy with that one, Bob?
I was actually saying, Chair, let's allow ourselves to proceed. A clearer picture will be painted as you proceed of what is happening, because now it will go back forward and so on. Some of the answers will be given by when you proceed to paint a clear picture of where we're going. But if anyone else has any matter to raise afterwards, even if we've passed, they will still come back and raise those issues. But as you can see here, to go to the new proposals, it continues to paint the picture in terms of the contribution that also Honourable Mulder is making. So if we allow ourselves to proceed, we'll see the picture will be painted clearly. Thanks, sir.
All right. Phase 2, if we can call it phase 2. Yes, ma'am.
I just want on the legal team, if as we go, we can bounce to them so that we don't come back and we have a different understanding. So if whatever we've dealt with, if they could just indicate their understanding so that we know that we're on the same page.
We can either do it that way. I thought we would do the political
process and for them to craft it as raw as it is, and then they can come back and say, but you know, on that one, you might run into this problem. But if you want to comment, because we're going clearly offline, it's open to everybody. Everybody can comment. Just for our understanding, honorable members, when we go to preamble, I'll keep on talking to this document as preamble. Preamble point number 6, management of and control of this fund. There's a statutory body, and then of course the management and control, it'll be the normal stuff, record keeping and so on, and all those type of things. I mean, I was looking at management and control of the existing 4. Maybe we should ask you guys, on the basis of what you've heard so far and your own research, to be able to populate what you understand as management and control. The one that we are saying here, at a political level, there must be a statutory arrangement. And then if you look at this one, it says for each financial year there must be books. The financial will run from year 1 to whatever the case might be. I really don't think we want to do it at this level, if you guys can help us on that one, unless there's something specifically we want to put in there. And remember, we're talking now about private funding. The one issue that we spoke about private funding, Honourable Mulder, was if this money goes there because Matthijs doesn't want her name to be mentioned to which political party, the question is, does this fund keep a record of it and can make it public if it's asked? Because the purpose for this fund is so that people's names are not publicly mentioned. Should we keep a register that says, even if you don't make it public, the record is there? Because somebody, I think it was the ANC, that was saying, but you just can't get funds from anybody. At least, even if you don't declare it, me, the recipient, must know that this money hasn't come from a drug lord or something like that. How do we record keep the donors? I think that's something that they might have to include. Mulder.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure if companies should not disclose when they make a donation to the multi-party fund. Yes. Why would companies like to withhold? My mind says the following. Well, you may have company A who says, I feel strongly about party X, and I'm going to make a direct contribution to party X, and they're entitled to do so. But if we say they must disclose, then the party will have to disclose and the company will disclose. So that's company X, or company A. Other companies may say, I'm not going to make a contribution to a specific party. I want to make a contribution to enhance multi-party democracy, and I give money to this fund. And I'm proud of it. I want to make public? Why would somebody don't want to make it public when you contribute to a general fund to enhance multi-party democracy? And when we talk later on about maybe tax incentives, or we talk about other things, the social responsibility index, if companies can score certain things in terms of that. The question I'm asking is it the right thing to say that companies who do not want to disclose make contributions? Isn't that going to create a negative perception that there's this hole where people contribute but we don't really know? Even if we say that they have to make a declaration to the trustees of that account or whatever the case may be, I'm not convinced in my mind that we do not expect of people when they donate to the fund. Why should they not make it public? Why would they want to hide that instead of saying proudly, I'm making a contribution to the Democracy Fund, I'm not choosing between any party, I'm contributing. I don't have clarity in my mind. There can be an argument to say that those companies should be allowed, or that people should be allowed not to disclose, even if they then disclose only to the trustees and they keep it in the register, that may be one option. But my general feeling is, why don't we expect them to disclose? Why would people want to withhold when they donate to a multi-party enhancement democracy fund? I'm just asking.
All right, there's a point. Let me put the spanner in the works and we can get there. What happens? Yeah, I know you, and I think you're correct, maybe if I think about it. But I think what we were trying to guard against is faceless people funding for whatever purpose. But I agree with you, faceless people wouldn't fund if there's no free lunch. No faceless person will put it and not expect anything out of it. But that's a debate. So the question that we're asking is should we put an obligation on those that are putting money into this democracy fund? If so, why? If not, why not? I think that's really the question. So that when they do the drafting to put the meat in, they can add to it. Others will say, just put money in and don't leave it as that, because if I'm proud, I will declare. If I don't want to declare, I keep it to myself. I think that's what Mulder is saying. Others might say, no, but at least the administrators must know who it's coming from. Let's have that debate. Bongo, Singh, and then Lise.
And
oh, no, thanks, Jim. I think there are two things that I think we must not conflate. If somebody wants to donate to Party X, directly to Party X, and does not want to be disclosed publicly, there's nothing wrong with that. But as long as the register is kept that you donated to the party, to Party X. But the multi-party funding, I don't think there may be a reason for anyone not to want to be disclosed if he's donating for a multi-party. There's no reason, because it has implications, attacks, and so on. But if somebody wants to be disclosed, or does not want to be disclosed, it will be his own discretion, but there's no reason why he must not be disclosed general, because it's a neutral fund, it is not going to a specific party, it's going to be distributed either equitably or proportionally. So I don't think we can, it will depend on the person who's giving the money. If he wants to be disclosed, he can be disclosed. If he does not want to, but there's no reason why he cannot be disclosed, because just a general fund. So I think we may have to put a specific clause which says maybe the people who are donating to the multi-party fund must be published, maybe annually. Those who donate to the multi-party fund annually must be published, so that it gets to be public information who's supporting the multi-party democracy that you are dealing with in South Africa. I think that's how. But those who want to donate to a specific party and they may not want to be disclosed, their register must just be kept wherever it is kept, by whoever is administering that particular fund. I don't know whether that... you see, when we declare as members of parliament, they will tell you that this is a private and a public declaration. So it's something more or less of that sort. The public one is for the multi-party. The private one will be for those who are privately giving to a specific person. You'll privately disclose the party. I don't know whether you understand that.
We will put it together eventually. People will start working.
But I see Honorable Mulder is nodding in agreement.
No. Before you come in, Mulder, see.
I don't understand. I'm not in agreement with the situation.
Yeah, Chair. No, thank you. No.
Let me remind us again. Remember, we want you to put this to what we call management of this fund.
Yes.
The one point was the statute saying, is there any other point? That's what we're asking. If there's no other point, we move on. If there's other point, that's what we're trying to debate.
Yeah, Chair, no, I agree with Honorable Bongo that nobody in their right mind who wants to donate to a multi-party democracy fund to enhance democracy will want their name to be excluded. It doesn't make sense. So they will, if that fund receives money, they will know who it came from because they will distribute it to everybody, that's fine. But when it comes to private funding, Company A wants to give the ANC an amount of money. There has to be legal provisions for Company A to declare that they've given and for the recipient to also declare, disclose that they've received. Obviously, there'll be thresholds, which we'll talk about at a later stage. Because if I give you 50 rand, I don't have to declare it, you don't have to say you received it. But if I give you 50,000 rand, then, you know. So I agree. Separation, multi-party democracy fund, everybody declares who they are, they receive it. Because it's a statutory fund now. They have to know where the money is coming from and what source. Private funding, also disclosure by both the donor and the recipient.
No, I agree with you. I thought let's just deal with the democracy fund first. Because remember we'll come to the party fund. Because me as private citizen have an option to give direct to the party or to give to whatever. So now we are limiting it only to the central fund for now. We'll get back to when Benson speaks to the ANC or whatever. So we're just dealing with the central fund and how that fund should be managed, because I think that's what Mulder was talking about.
Chair.
On the note, you will come in afterwards. After Singh, it leaves Kubisa and then you'll come in from the Honorable.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, you know, it's absolutely critical that the source of funds is not from an illegal source. It's not cash in a checker's packet. So there's those absolute obligations. But, Mr. Chairman, at the same time, you didn't allow me to include in the preamble the question of the right to privacy. No, it does come in here. It comes in here very much so, because no matter what the purpose of the fund, of the use of the funds in this particular fund, and you've said we're not talking about directly to parties, it is the individual right of the donor to do it privately, particularly in this case where there cannot be any claim that there would be some sort of undue influence over someone. The money is going into a fund administered at this stage by the IEC. We may change that at some stage. So absolutely, if a donor wants to make a private and a confidential donation to that fund, they surely must be allowed to. It may not, I mean, if most of us here feel that we would want to take the credit for giving that donation to a multi-party democracy, well, that's fine. Go to the media and tell people that I've given whatever I've given there. But if I, as a philanthropist, just wishes to donate to multi-party democracy, and I donate to the fund, there must surely be an objective of confidentiality. And that can be, I think, as Honorable Bongo has indicated, a register which is kept by the trustees or whoever, and so it's not illegal funding from Brett Kebble or Harkson or whatever other source the funding is coming from. So in this instance, I'm afraid there's absolutely no strong argument, in my opinion, that suggests that confidential donations should not be allowed into this multi-party fund.
Honorable
Kubisa,
Matthijs, after Kubisa.
Chairperson, I just wanted to say, let's confine ourselves to the central fund first. Yeah. because gravitating to other private fund will might sort of confuse us at the moment. We're getting there. I see no reason why a donor would not declare, I mean, would not be transparent, would not want to be known in a multi-party fund to enhance democracy. Therefore, the caveat in this instance is that the donor must declare. And of course, the way the fund is run, it will also, at some point, as Honorable Bongo suggested, that perhaps annually, we must be able to say, these are the funders, or these are the donors. So basically, what is needed here is transparency, openness, because we are drafting this law to move to that direction. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Matthijs?
What I'm going to suggest we do, Chair, is that we're going to have a very long, heated discussion when we come to transparency, reporting, etc., right? So we don't get hung up on this management and control, that we move on. And then obviously the discussion that we have there will inform, and what we conclude on will inform whatever sections we need to include in terms of accountability. Because we're going to have like a half discussion on transparency and accountability and then follow it up again later, that's going to be heated. So when we decide on that, whatever is going to have to come back, and obviously the Act will have to speak to the overall decision that was taken on transparency. So if it's decided 100% transparency, obviously in our discussions there, then under management and control, we're going to have to come back here and say obviously a register has to be kept, so our researchers must just note that decisions made there will inform the management and control of the fund.
Thank you very much. I think you're taking us forward. I'm saying under this section, other than the normal stuff that you'll put in, picked up from somewhere, keeping records and so on, you'll add the statutory part. Can we then move on from point number 6 on the preamble? And remember, we'll always come back to it as we go along, because there seems to be this discussion about the degree of declaring or transparent. We'll come back. Is that all right? Thank you very much. All right. And remember, honorable members, if the minute you move into anything other than the central fund, I'm going to stop you. We're dealing purely with the central fund. How do we allocate money that goes into the central fund is the question that is being asked. Because we're not even going back anymore to the original one. Now it's a brand new debate. When we've got 100 rand in that central fund from whoever, what happens to that money in the central fund? That's the question that we are talking about now. Mulder, and then Liz.
We give it to the Freedom Front Plus, Chip. On a serious note, Chairperson, if you look at the current Act, you'll find in Section 5 of the Act a very detailed description of how the IEC funds are distributed, and it takes into consideration a lot of things. My view would be that all these provisions are in order, it's not a problem.
Section 5?
Of the current Act,
yes.
The question that we need to address is, if we are satisfied and happy with the distribution of funds in terms of the current fund, the IEC fund, is there a reason why the funds in the multi-party democracy fund should be distributed in terms of a different formula? Or should it be in exactly the same way if we agree on how funds are distributed? That's the question here.
All right. Liz,
Matthijs, and Nancy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was going to say the same thing, is that whilst we're talking about a separate fund, the allocations should be uniform between the two funds, and we're not now, as I understand it, discussing the merits of the formula and so on, which I'm sure will be a lengthy discussion at a later stage, but in principle, that the allocation should be the same.
Honourable Singh?
Yeah, Chair, I also agree, but with the proviso that the calculation in the public funding has not yet been fully debated by us.
You
the calculation, the way the distribution in the public funding has not yet been fully debated by us. But whatever we agree to there, you know, will hold for this fund as well.
But we're not agreeing on the allocation. No. That you said. We'll get to allocations. I'm sure at some point we'll get to allocations. All right. So in terms of preamble, I'm really hoping you guys are following that, because you're going to come with another preamble document before the end of the day today that incorporates everything discussed with that. That's right. So allocation of funds, you can see. The politics about it, not the rand and
things. Yeah,
and remember, we are strictly talking on central fund. We'll come back and do the same exercise on party later on. This is just the central fund. Then what is private funding? Because I don't really think of private funding. Allocation of funds. Can we call the party part chapter 3? Okay? I'm saying this thing, part 3 will be reserved for phase 3. Allocation to phase 3. Provision to political parties, obviously that's phase 3. Accounting for monies, unspent, irregular, and so on. Do we have anything to say in terms of central funding around unallocated, unspent, and irregular money? We are now on 14. Now let me go back. Point number 8 relates to parties. Remember, we are now restricting ourselves only to the central fund. We don't want to talk to parties. So, is there anything on point number 8 that we want to talk to in terms of the central fund?
Yeah. Sorry.
For clarity, Chair, on point number 7, the new proposals that are here, we're not getting into those. We're coming to them later, because they are. You see, we dealt with that one, the section 5.1b and 2a. But and then there was the issues of new proposals that have been thrown in.
The central fund.
Yeah, in the central fund.
Our members with
us? If you go back to point number 7, the new proposals, we're talking just central fund, nothing else. Just central fund.
When you say central fund, right, both are central. Are you saying the state central fund?
No, the private central. The state we're done with. We're no more talking about state. We're talking now private. Underrepresented political parties, Mr. Mulder.
Yes. So we are under the first point of new proposal, Chairperson.
Yes, sir.
In the evidence that we heard, there were all points put on the table with regard to underrepresented parties. In other words, parties that are out there, they're registered, they have not succeeded in getting anyone elected, and they also want some funding. There were a lot of discussion about that. My concern is that even though that may be a relevant topic, that it's not within the ambit of our mandate. If you go back to the minutes of the National Assembly on the 6th of June, it clearly states what we need to do, and it clearly states that we need to deal with represented political parties. So even if we feel that something should be done, it's outside our mandate. We could in the report say something about that, that needs something that needs to be looked into, etc. But in terms of the Act and our mandate, I'm of the view that we are not supposed now to create a different provision now to make provision for that.
Are we all happy with that? We talked about unrepresented political parties from the central fund. We're happy that they should not be catered for.
Yeah.
All right. The use of state resources, clearly that doesn't go to the central fund. The state resources is more political parties. Agreed? Additional activities and permitted purposes to be funded through the public fund, such as campaigns. But if we said it's split as per the past, then the party does it. So we can leave that one, is it?
Yeah.
Enhanced public funding doesn't fit into this one, does it?
Yeah.
Because we're doing it per the proportion the other side. Review the current 90-30 split, that's a discussion for later on, is it? Or you want to discuss it now? Later on? Allocation of equitable portion to provincial. That is done. You don't have to do this in here. You are all... No, you're right. What? should we give the provinces some money from the central bank? That's the first message, I think. Allocation of the equitable proportion to provincial parties.
Chairperson, what I understand to that point is that's the point that I call him Honourable Gordy, you call him Comrade Gordy, our colleague. That's a point that he strongly made, that in terms of the current formula, when it comes to the equitable part, a certain formula has been used in terms of the regulations that only take the parties represented in the provinces into account. And the point that he made is that that is not correct. The representation in the National Assembly should also be included when you come to the equitable part. In other words, you talk about equity, but it's a weighted thing, and the Act makes provision that it can be done. So all that that point says that when we come to the formula, it's got two questions. The one is the 90-10 split or whatever that may bring up, and the second one is how do you look at the equitable part, and I think we should have that discussion when we get to that point.
Okay, so those two, Honourable, Mr. Kodemi, cater for those two points. Those two are standing. But let me just put another question to you, Honourable Members. The Central Democracy Fund gets 50 million rand. Oh, no, that was discussed there. So we say that fund can't be limited just to parties represented nationally. It should be for all political parties. Then I'm talking about the central government we're now trying to do. Well, we'll have that discussion later on. When we get to the application. All right. Okay. All right.
I just find out also again, the last two ticks, for instance, the 90-10 split and the equitable proportional, when we say we will deal with them later, where?
No, I thought we'll find a heading that will deal with that. You don't see it. Public funding.
Those are weighty matters.
That's the public funding, isn't it? The next one.
I have no doubt they won't fall off the agenda.
Oh, they will.
No. All I'm saying is, can we move off bullet point number 7 for now? All right. Okay. But remember, Honourable Members, I'm going to keep on guiding you. We're now not talking about the party. We're talking about the central fund. Is there anything else in the central fund, which I'm calling phase 2, others call it chapter 2. Is there anything else in the central fund that we want these guys to go and consider? We've spoken about the declaration or otherwise. We've spoken about the normal management of it. We will come back to who actually manages it later on. Or do you want to have that discussion now? Later on.
Yes, I'm just saying that's a serious outstanding issue, but
yes,
we need to think about that. Who's going to control this fund?
Correct. Yeah. Is there anything else around the central fund? Because we seem to have agreement that whether it's Bongo's one that says there must be a register on demand, you can declare, whether you declare up front, whether you allow the person to declare, that argument is still outstanding. We'll have to have it at some point. But it's one of the areas that we'll visit tomorrow and as we go on. That's the only thing that seems to me that we need to go back and look at.
Chairperson, we don't have to go back. The other question is, if we can put our minds around and think about incentives. And if you talk about incentives with regard to tax breaks and those kind of things, will have statutory implications. But it's something that we can think about.
Okay. On that one, we're still talking about the central fund, Honourable Members. Do we say all monies must be spent in the same year? Can it just be as it goes along? I'm talking about unspent funds and so on. Are we saying anything about that? Or, I mean, if you've got 10 rand in the bank, should you not give it to parties first before you think of putting it into your investment account? Are we not saying anything about that around the management? We're talking about the central fund. Doesn't matter who's handling it. Because we don't want it to become a cash pot just for the sake of a cash pot. Shouldn't we be saying no? At the end of each year, you give it to the parties as long as they account for it, or I don't know. I'm just raising that point.
Yes, Chairperson, there's a current practice by the IEC how they deal with the other fund, the state fund. And we all know they get an allocation per year, and everything is given to the parties in four installments, basically. It's working in terms of that fund. There's no reason why not necessarily will work in terms of this fund as well.
Okay.
We're happy with that. Okay? Once we get to the formula and the phases, you'll get your next after you've accounted for the first one. All right. I think we've done enough with the central fund. I'm looking at our researchers as well. Is there anything that you guys would want us to debate politically? Because remember on Friday we said we don't want you to make proposals. It's us that make. Around the central fund, are you happy that you'll be able to put something together for us that we'll look at, revisit again tomorrow? Because this document you must bring back to us tomorrow with some of these changes that are made. Anything else on the central fund?
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure whether maybe it is prudent to also the committee to consider the purpose for which these funds for privacy are going to be used for. Because that would be very critical in order to identify the gap in funding in the whole system of political party funding, so that the permitted use or purposes cannot be similar with the permitted use and purposes that on the public fund. I'm not sure whether it is prudent also the committee also to consider that, because there were a lot of complaints in the submission in terms of the permitted purposes or the use of those funds. I doubt maybe that's what I'm talking whether I doubt if ever these funds, this central fund or democratic fund can be permitted the purposes for which can be used for can be similar to those ones that are on the public fund. I'm not sure whether the committee can consider that.
All right, that's a point, yes. Just so that we're all on the same page, the public funds are used for what? I'm talking about the IEC fund. What is that used for currently?
If you look at the Act,
5-1-B.
Yes, 5-1-B of the Act stipulates what it's used for. There was one thing in terms of the evidence that we heard was the whole idea of creating foundations for party political development, those kind of things, policy, etc., which currently is not part of the state funding. It's part of nothing at this stage. But those indications in the 5-1-B of the current Act, development of political will of the people, bringing political parties' influence to bear on shaping public opinion, inspiring further political education, promoting active participation, etc. Those are what the state funds basically say. I don't think why would you change that? And taking into consideration that the IC fund currently states that you have to use per financial year 50%, you're entitled to roll over 50% of the funds, which some parties do. But the question would be, is it necessary to have different purposes for the private donations than we've got already in terms of the current Act for the state funds?
Bongo, Matthijs, and Kubisa. We're talking about the use of the central fund.
I'm not sure, Chairperson. We may not change, but the issues are written here are a bit vague. Very vague, because also from the submissions that we got last week, where the people who clearly said, we were saying, don't buy T-shirts, don't do this and this and this. But here it's vague. If I can say, to develop development of a political will of the people, because the yardstick against which to measure that development is something that is not measurable. So we may have to get closer to it and be very clear in terms of A, B, C. Because all these things, to me, it's like a... It's just English, because I can say if I buy a T-shirt, and I'll tell you that I'm developing the political will, or I'm inspiring and furthering political education. I think we have an opportunity to can just be very specific. X, Y, Z. This is what it means, so that we get to be a bit closer to what we want to say. Otherwise, the presentation last week were very clear about what we cannot do. Can you do food parcels? Like, there was the issue of food parcels. No. You see those kind of things. I think let's get closer to it. Thanks.
Honorable Matthijs?
Chair, the IEC fund is probably what is the most easiest. Oh, I'm not loud enough.
It's probably, okay, so you have, the Act speaks to an overall what it can be used for, right? And then you get sort of like a policy from the actual IUC that will say you can't use it on this particular line item when you are counting for it, right? So all that must be packaged into particular line items like rent or... probably the IUC funding is the easiest lot of funding to use. I don't necessarily think that we need to mess with it. But I do think that we need to consider and seriously consider being able to use this private funding on a way to be able to finance legal costs. No. Because a legal cost in the sense